May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So today is the fourth Sunday in Lent. We are halfway through. So anybody give up anything for Lent? Oh, nobody? Okay, there's a couple. You're almost done. Because I was going to point out that I don't give up things because if it would be coffee or chocolate, because those are my... But it wouldn't be a pretty sight if I gave up coffee or chocolate. So we don't do that. So on this fourth Sunday in Lent, we hear one of the most famous verses, or most one of the most well-known verses, let's put it that way, of all, John 3:16. And Martin Luther said that those words are the heart of the Bible, the gospel in a miniature. And that may very well be true, because in a few words, this verse describes a loving God, a cherished world, a self-giving son, an invitation to everyone, along with deliverance from death and a promise of eternal life. So this verse has shown up in a lot of places over the years, just the word John followed by the numbers 3:16. Can be seen in placards that have been held up at sporting events, on billboards, and famously, there was a quarterback that used to have it on the eye black. He'd have 3:16. And I just found out this week that it's also found on the bottom of the soda cups at the fast food restaurant In and Out. So if you happen to go there, my granddaughter loves it, so I go there a lot, look for that. So over the years, this gospel verse has been reduced to a pithy soundbite, shorthand for what we believe or what we don't believe. And there's an emphasis on the belief part. Believe in Jesus and you will have eternal life. But if you don't, you got a problem. So this verse has been used over the years also to judge people, to decide who is in and who is out. And we forget, or we slide right over, the stunning declaration that begins this verse. For God so loved the world. So what does it mean when we say that we believe in Jesus? Historian and theologian Diana Butler Bass wrote that the English word believe comes from the German word belieben. And I don't speak German, so if I mispronounce that, I apologize. But it's the German word for love. And according to Bass, believing is not to hold an opinion. But to believe is to treasure, to hold on to something beloved, to give my heart without reservation. To believe in something is to invest it with my love. And in Hebrew, to believe translates as to trust and to rely on. So believing seems to be placing full confidence in God, to throw our hearts and our minds and our bodies into God's hands. And so I have to wonder if this well-known verse is not about deciding who is in and who is out, but it is about God's love for us and our relationship with God and with one another. As one writer put it, when I ask my husband, my children, or my friends to believe in me, I'm not asking them to agree to certain facts about me. I'm asking them to trust me. Trust me with their love. trust me with their heart, to let them treasure me as I treasure them. Our relationships are based on love and trust. So why should our relationship with God be any different? So this gospel lesson is actually the second half of Jesus' nighttime encounter and conversation with Nicodemus, a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a man steeped in the words of the prophets and of the Torah. But he was a man who was seeking to understand what he had seen and heard about Jesus. It was an encounter where Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born anew to allow himself to be transformed, to let go of everything he thought he understood about a life of faith and his relationship with God and with others. Jesus was asking him to come out of the darkness and risk the light. And Nicodemus walked away baffled, unable to understand what it was that he was being offered. A life that was so much more than a simple expression of belief or doctrine. He was being asked to begin anew, to be called to this life of transformation through his encounter with Jesus, just as we too are being called to let our lives be transformed by Jesus, to begin anew, to risk coming out of the darkness into the light. Nicodemus walked away, and we begin to understand that following Jesus and allowing ourselves to be transformed is a choice. It's always our choice. Transformation doesn't happen through pithy Bible verses or using Bible verses as litmus tests to let us know who is in or who is out. Jesus tells Nicodemus and us that the light has come into the world, but there are those who will shun the light. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Choosing to follow Jesus is allowing ourselves to be transformed by his life and his love and to walk in the light of Christ. And with that choice, we can't remain neutral about Jesus. Neither can we remain neutral in the midst of wrongdoing. We are called to make choices about the decisions that we make every single day, decisions on how we treat one another. We're being invited to entrust ourselves to God in the act of loving our neighbor, whoever our neighbor is. We're being called to stand up and speak up for those who are voiceless. And make no mistake, to follow Jesus requires the courage to swim against the currents of our world. This is not an easy life or easy way to live. It goes against everything that society tells us every single day. We are living in a world that tells us to fear the stranger. Those who are different. Different age, different race, different gender, different belief or sexual orientation. So this time, this Lent, is the time for us to reorder our lives. Because we, like Nicodemus, are being given an opportunity. We are being given an opportunity today to be transformed, to begin anew on this journey with Jesus. A journey that won't always be easy, but it will be full of joy and love. standing with Jesus and with our neighbors, whoever our neighbors may be, to trust in him, to love one another as we are so loved. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn us. He came into this world to be with us, for us, to stand with us when we are in pain, or when we are grieving, or when we're full of doubt, when we are lost, we are alone, or we're afraid, when our backs are to the wall, and we don't know where to turn next. He offers hope when all hope seems to be gone. And God's love is not in short supply. And it's not just there for the people who say the right words or believe the right way. His love has been poured out in the whole world for you and for me. His love is right here in this sacred space. And his love will be with us when we walk out those great doors, wherever we may go. God is with us. For God so loved the world. He came into this world for love. For you, and for me, for everyone, everywhere.